Welcome back to InPod, your home for all things InFlow. I'm Nick Sweeney. I'm your host. And this week, we're actually going to kind of blur the lines between InFlow and CATI. SOLIDWORKS 2021 is out as of a couple weeks ago. Last week, I did my top 10 enhancements for what's new in SOLIDWORKS, PDM, a little bit of Composer. I was told by Brandon Elms that I left one off, so maybe I'll have to get him on here sometime this month to tell me why I'm wrong about what I didn't include in what's new in Composer. But this week, we're going to hit hard what's new in SOLIDWORKS 2021. I want to talk about some really cool things going on in our general settings, some nice performance enhancements. There's a lot of stuff going on. So this week, I've brought in Will Kefauver from the SOLIDWORKS side. Will is an application engineer, but he's on the field services side. So he's kind of like my equivalent, but on the CATI side. And we're going to be talking about what's new in SOLIDWORKS 2021. So Will, welcome to the podcast. Welcome to InPod.
Sweeney, I appreciate you having me on, brother. It's an honor to be in the world's most popular InFlow podcast. Man, what an honor.
We are definitely the most popular InFlow podcast out there. Eventually, we'll get to number one all time. We just got to catch Joe Rogan.
Yeah, it's a long journey, but I think you're the one to do it.
This is the episode that starts it all, I guarantee it.
Love it. We can do it.
So I wanted to bring you in for a couple of reasons. One, it's always fun talking to you. It's always a good conversation, and not having the rollout events this year, I don't get to see you down in Cincinnati or at any of our other events. So I wanted to make sure I got you on the podcast. And the second reason is because you know SOLIDWORKS. You've been using SOLIDWORKS for quite a while. I guess, Will, when did you first start using SOLIDWORKS? What was your first version of SOLIDWORKS?
Awesome question. I think my first version was 2008. So I've been using it. Used that in high school a little bit. Don't do the math on that. I'm one of the younger guys here, but 2008.
Now you got nothing on me. But you've been using SOLIDWORKS as long as I've known you, because you joined back in the 3D Vision days. You joined us on tech support back in, 2017, I think?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So I've been working for, I joined 3D Vision in 2017, that March. And then like a month later, they said, surprise, we're being acquired or merging. Then we became CATI.
Yep. So we worked together for a couple of months and then I left and I went over to England, but now I'm back. So we're working together. So you used SOLIDWORKS this whole time. You didn't split off and go into the dark side of PDM and data management and all that stuff like I did. So I wanted to bring you in so we can talk about what's new in SOLIDWORKS 2021, because there's some exciting stuff. There's some pretty interesting things going on just at the general level, at the part level, assemblies, drawings, you name it. SOLIDWORKS is always innovating, so there's always new stuff to talk about. So Will, I know you've listened to my top 10, and some of this stuff is going to mirror what I've got in my top 10. But I wanted to kick this off. Let's talk about the general settings. What is one thing that you are super excited about in 2021?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, I'm excited about tons of different things, general settings, part modeling, assemblies. There's even one simulation one that I'm pretty jazzed about. But honestly, one of my favorite general settings, one is that you can now change the inactive sketch color. So just as a little refresher, what are inactive sketches? Those are sketches that are showing, but are not being edited right now. So normally they're gray, but also normally the part is gray too. So if you're trying to reference it or something like that, we even in our essentials class, we reference inactive sketches to make another sketch when we're making our first sweep, right? On that third day. But we even have to hide the bodies so we can even see the sketch because they're both the same color of gray. But now what you can do is change inactive sketch colors, make it like lime green or something like that that'll stick out against everything. So that's a cute little, I bet that was an easy one for the developers to fix probably, but I think it's going to have a pretty big impact. Everybody's going to like it. So I highly recommend you change that.
I think it's pretty cool too for those customers that maybe they don't have the highest resolution monitors. Like I've got a pretty good monitor, but I still have to zoom in really, really tight to find those sketches. And often I'll click on them to make them kind of like semi-active. That way I can even get them to highlight. So yeah, changing that to like a nice neon green or something that's completely out there, that's going to make it so much easier because finding those sketches can be a headache.
Yeah, it'll prevent you from going cross-eyed trying to figure out which one you're looking for, right?
Ah, too late. Oh, well. But one of the other things you're excited for, it's about that customization in our general settings, is that you can kind of customize the search for commands in the shortcut bar tab. So Will, what's so exciting about that in your opinion?
Yeah, so this is a super duper specific thing. So I'm sure you know, Sweeney, and a lot of folks know that there's kind of an internal civil war amongst AEs going on, whether or not your team shortcut bar or team mouse gesture, right? It's the new Twilight, Jake and Edward kind of civil
yes.
war going on.
Yes, yes. It was. Team Jake, Team Edward.
So I'm totally a fangirl for mouse gestures. I'm on that team, but got to give it to you. Team shortcut bar, which, you know, you press S and you get, you know, typical, if you're just editing at the part level, sketch level, or assembly level, and you press S on your keyboard, you get a little shortcut menu that pops up of commonly used features. But you've always been able to customize which features appear when you press S. So until 2021, if you wanted to customize, what you would have to do is just within the customize tab, you would have to just kind of navigate through stuff and understand where, you know, the Helix command is. Oh, shoot, do I have to go to, you know, file features? Is that a feature or is that like a surfacing kind of command, right? You'd have to look for it. But now what you can do is while you are customizing that shortcut bar, you can just start typing the command. So all you got to know is what it's called. And you can just drag and drop it onto that shortcut. So, I mean, it saves you minutes a year, right? So spend that time with your family.
I personally am on Team Mouse Gestures as well. I think it's a cooler way of modeling, in my opinion. Like, you hit S, well, I don't want to touch my keyboard. I'd rather just stay with my mouse. In my opinion, I like mouse gestures more, but it is pretty cool to have the ST and be able to actually customize it. I know that always comes up in Model Mania. They talk about that every single year, like, oh, use the S key and then you're 2 seconds faster. Like, and that could be the difference between winning and getting third.
Totally.
That's kind of cool.
Totally. I like mouse gestures. It gets in your muscle memory, man. And it you just feel like you're pulling a rabbit out of a hat anytime you magically do a command. Even when I'm teaching classes, I try to keep it as out of the box as possible. I will accidentally use a mouse gesture. Sometimes they'll catch me like, whoa, how'd you get to the right view so quick? I see your left hand. What'd you do, man? It's like, I'll show you Friday. Don't worry.
nothing on the left. And notice, boom, right view.
Yep.
Speaking of cool things you can do with the mouse, you can now edit your end conditions with a right click. And I don't think we need to explain why this is exciting, because I think it's pretty self-explanatory. Because you can right click on a feature, you can change, is this a through all? Is this a blind cut? Is this an up to next? I think that's pretty sweet that we can change our cuts to be like that now. Without having to go through and edit the feature and change all of that and go through all those hoops that we used to have to.
Yeah, totally, man. So your goal as, you know, a design engineer, as a draftsman, mine as an applications engineer, is to reduce mouse mileage. You want to keep your mouse, you know, in the graphics area so you can, you know, just keep whipping and flipping whatever model that you're making, right? You don't want to have to be looking at file commands and everything like that, or toggling on and off options. So you can tell the people, you know, writing this stuff and working on SolidWorks, they every single year are trying to make it so you just have to keep your mouse in one place. So this is another piece of that puzzle, right? So you have an extrude command with, you know, that you've executed with mouse gestures, of course, because you're super slick, right? So you have your extrude command, you're doing that. You've pre-selected your sketch also because you're super slick. Now, the final piece of that puzzle is how you're going to end that command. Now you can just right click, look through a list of capabilities or, you know, end conditions, select whatever you want, and then you're done. Barely moving your mouse. It's like Jedi mind tricks.
It's like when they move that confirmation corner, that was the big thing, like 2016, 2017. They said, look, we've moved the confirmation corner. And now everything is right there in that confirmation corner. It's now we don't have to burn out our wrists and get carpal tunnel. Instead, it's just one simple spot. It's right there.
Totally. Every little bit helps. They did that, I think, 2020 or 2019, where, like, when you're doing, when you're control clicking faces to do a mate at the assembly level, you can now, I think as of last year, do like secondary options, right? Whether or not you want to flip direction or for a concentric mate, make it locked or something like that, or a slot mate. Do you want this centered or free? Now that pops up right in your face too. So that saves, I know, a ton of people are happy with that.
Yeah, and if you make a mistake, you can just undo it with Control Z. But as you have in your list of your favorite things, and as was in my top 10, undo and redo are so much better now. And if you mess up, like I do, I am a serial mistake person. You can now redo more things. What do you say? It's up to 60 commands now you can redo?
Yeah, from what I've read, about 60. I haven't been able to find a concise list of it. I hope. I always tend to get stuck. We were talking about this, undoing out of a sketch, but then it's like, oh, shoot, too far. I wanted to stay in the sketch. Hit Control Y, boom, you're redoing that so you don't have to re-enter the sketch or, even create a new sketch, right? So I'm hoping that's one in the list. That's a big one for me.
I agree, because redoing the mistake undos, like I do Control Z to make sure that I don't have mistakes in my model, but if I go too far, now I suddenly have got myself in a loop and now I've made another mistake by undoing a mistake.
Yeah, precisely. It's now, like getting lost time traveling almost. It's like, what's the date? The year, man. The year.
If we go, I don't think we should go into a Back to the Future dialogue because then we'll just never get out of that.
I know. We'll stop it there.
We'll stop there. Well, so let's stop there and let's get into part modeling because you included, I didn't include this next one about edge flanges and non-planar sketches. I didn't talk about that in my top 10, but it is definitely a pretty slick thing that we can now kind of go, it's like a swept flange almost around our models. That's pretty cool that we don't have to do that anymore. And you had a pretty good use case for customers that are trying to do this. So you're pretty excited about this one too.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's start from the beginning. Basically, edge flanges, you select an edge, you drag it up, depending on your K-factor or gauge table, automatically add, a bend or a fillet looking thing to that corner, and you can do an end condition, bada boom, you have an edge flange. But a common complaint was, what if that particular edge traverses 3D space, right? What if you're kind of, what if that edge itself has a bend in it, right? Instead of only being limited to two-dimensional space or one dimension, right? Edge flanges can now, doesn't matter where that edge goes that you're using as an edge flange reference, you can now bend it. We were talking about a little bit earlier, not sure if mathematically that would work or if it needs to automatically have a rip in it, but I've had this question come up when I've been filling in on tech support a few times where I had some customers making sort of like helical conveyors, right? So you have assembly line of stuff and then whatever product needs to go from one level to another. So you have almost a spiral staircase kind of conveyor going on. I've been totally stumped trying to help them out creating the guards on that kind of thing to keep that product from falling out of that spiral staircase, right? But when I saw this edge flange thing was a new capability, I instantly thought of that scenario. We could just click that helical edge that's going down that conveyor and bada boom, we have an edge flange.
It's pretty cool because it saves that directly is going to save us workarounds because, there's always ways you can do stuff. There's no one way to do anything in SOLIDWORKS. If you want to make a cube, how can you do it? As we talked about it earlier, there's like 20 ways you can make a cube, which way makes the most sense.
Yep.
In this case, we don't have to do one of those other 20 ways. Now we can actually do it natively, which is really, really nice that you don't have to kind of do workarounds.
Precisely. And often, often when you see, sort of legacy products like that, SOLIDWORKS was made in 94. I'm sure before 94, and so was I. I'm sure before 94, I'm sure before 94, they had helical conveyors, right? So a company that's been doing that, probably has a way to make it. They're just trying to represent it in SOLIDWORKS, but, they don't want to be stuck spinning their wheels, calling in a few, lead engineers, trying to figure out how to just get this bumper on the edge to work. So even if mathematically, you can't necessarily do an edge flange down a helix in SOLIDWORKS with the correct K factor and everything. It still is a good way to get that representation of stuff you already know how to make, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't change how you model it. It's just the fact that, hey, now we have it.
Yep.
But speaking of other things that we have to do workarounds for, weldments always had this one little tricky issue where if you were going to different profiles, it never quite came out right. So you'd have to do like additional cuts and you'd have to make like, it was a weird workaround they had to do with extrusions and et cetera. But now the miter trim for different profiles, you can actually do a flush miter now. I think that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, it's pretty slick. And it's another one that, oh, just having this extra option, it saves you like four little features. So let's describe the problem here. Basically, in weldments, it's all well and good if you have two of the same sized extruded tube coming to a right angle, right? You just do a miter cut, easy peasy, lemon squeezy, you get it done. But let's say one of those extruded tubes is much bigger or a completely different size than the other one. Well, when SOLIDWORKS before would automatically do a miter cut, the bigger tube, it wouldn't, you know, trim it back, right? So it would just be cut. The end would be cut at a 45, and that extra material would just be there looking like an idiot. So what you got to do is just, you know, manually trim that sucker down to what you expect it to look, you know, creating extra work for real life scenarios. But now there's an option just within, I think, the trim command. You just do a check on flush miter and kind of reads your mind. It's pretty cool.
It just takes away the extra steps that you have to do something that intuitively you'd think it would be able to do that. Like, hey, let's make these two things line up. Well, now SOLIDWORKS can do that, which is pretty nice that you don't have to add these extra features into your model in order to get something that, you know, you already do it anyway, but now it's smart enough to figure it out for you, so you don't have to do the extra math.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of things that SOLIDWORKS, I would have thought would already be able to do, but now it actually can, you and I both share the opinion that the eyedropper working outside of SOLIDWORKS is actually pretty cool, because I might have been talking to my dad about it, and he said, I can't believe that made your top 10. I think it's absolutely a top 10 feature because we can do our colors from different programs. And you and I had the exact same workaround for this in the past, where we would take the color, put it in Paint, grab the RGB value, and then copy that over to SOLIDWORKS. Now we get to get rid of that entire process.
Yeah, absolutely. So I come from before, all those many years ago, coming over to 3D Vision, I worked in reverse engineering for about 4 or 5 years. All right. Got to see a lot of little things. And in that particular field, you have to do a lot of what I call application parkour, right? To get your data to where you want it to be, right? So that right there, I've been using that term ever since. You know, having to drag an image into Paint, do the eyedropper there, get the RGB values and come over here. First off, that's application parkour. You have to have multiple screens, right? You can only have, what, 3 screens max normally. I know there's some dorks out there with 6, which...
I've had 4 before. 4 is honestly a lot. I had one that was just a clock, but yeah. 3, I think, is the most you can really manageably have and understand what's going on.
Yeah, yeah, precisely. Before you become like an air traffic controller. But anyway, the more you can reduce application parkour, the better. I think this is one little thing that'll help out a lot. It was pretty cool. I didn't read about this before, and this was before I listened to your top 10 the other day. I was just kind of watching somebody demo a video of this, and I was like, oh, the eyedropper. I've seen that before. What? They're out of the application. It totally caught me by surprise. I was like, what? What are you doing out of there? So totally slick capability. You can go anywhere. You can, you know, steal colors, reverse engineer colors, if you will, from anything. So totally slick.
It's a really nice thing because it's one of those little things. It's almost a delighter. But as the excitement in your voice just said, it is a delighter. It's like, yes, we don't have to have 4 different things open to do the same thing.
Delighter. That's awesome. What a good way to describe that. That's great.
It's the best way I've got. But speaking of delighters, one of the things that I'm going to talk about next week in the data management podcast, and one of the things we'll kind of talk about now, equations and custom properties are now a thing inside of SOLIDWORKS. I think this is a pretty clear reason why this is really cool to have. It's fairly obvious because now we can do things like, well, what is the cost of our product? Well, if we know the cost per pound and if we know the mass, we can actually do that math right there. So then from the PDM perspective, you can just take that and add it to your data cards. It's pretty cool. But even if you don't have PDM, you don't have to manually do that math anymore. Those equations are natively inside of SOLIDWORKS, which, again, I think it's a pretty straightforward application of it, but like, thank God we finally have it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's pretty cool because, you know, we can only come up, or SOLIDWORKS can only come up with so many different properties and predict what you will need. But by enabling the user to be able to write their own equations and everything using, you know, mass properties or material properties or something like that. Now, you know, you have a calculator, right? You can do anything. Think of how simple Excel is. It's just a cell, and you can use those cells with any kind of equation you want. And now you can write like total algorithms in Excel, right? So you can do anything with this. Its possibility is endless. There's, you know, of course, a simple example would be if you're working in weldments, and you know how much, you know, per pound or per foot that particular extruded tube is. Well, what you can do is just set up a simple formula to the bounding box or the mass, and then boom, we have a rough estimate for the folks purchasing on how much this will cost.
In a way, it's kind of doing what SOLIDWORKS costing already does, except for now it's in your custom properties. And that's just one application of it. Of course, there are a lot of different ways you can do it. I don't think you can do like concatenation with this yet, but you can do basic math properties, which again, it does kind of what SOLIDWORKS costing does in one example, one application of it. I still think it's pretty cool though, that even just adding that little bit of functionality, it means that you don't have to kind of do more of the application parkour, as you put it.
Yeah, exactly. Less application parkour, and it keeps us a little bit away from having to go into the dark art of SOLIDWORKS API. So that's good. Once you start on that slope, man, you'll never be the same.
Maybe that explains a lot, because I love SOLIDWORKS API. It's pretty cool. But yeah, if we don't have to write custom code, why should we?
Precisely.
All right. So as far as parts go, anything else that you're excited about, or should we move on to our assemblies? Is there anything else that we're missing?
We've hit on Big Willy's top five, I think. So that's those are my favorite. Let's move on.
So one of my top 10 and one of your top assembly ones is automatically resolving your subassemblies when the parts are expanded, especially if the top is in lightweight mode. I brought it up last week, and I think that this is a pretty cool way of enhancing the load times of your assemblies. One of the big things that you and I heard all the time on TetSupport, one of the things that I'm sure you're probably dealing with all week on TetSupport is, hey, my assembly's slow. Can you speed it up? Sure. There's 100 ways to do it. But now with this little lightweight feature, it's going to speed up our assembly's load times because you're only loading it kind of like on demand. You're only resolving it when you need it. I think it's a pretty slick way of enhancing it without it having to do like, here, change your settings and do this. No, it just kind of does it. I think that's a pretty nice way of doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's no reason to load the entire giant model when you're just trying to work on a particular subassembly or, you know, made it or something like that. So really what happens is what you could do before. Okay, let's talk about before. All right, what you could do is load it in lightweight mode and then remember to right-click, hit resolved. It would load into resolved for a sec. And then, okay, boom, you have your fully resolved subassembly or section of a big assembly. Then you could dig in and do your top-level parametric editing if you want to, or change, you know, a whole pattern or something like that that you couldn't do in lightweight mode. But now it's totally slick. You won't even notice it. This is an option in system options. If you have this option enabled, what you can do is just anytime you expand a subassembly or part, while it's in lightweight mode, it'll just automatically be resolved. So I think this is one of the things that, 2 years from now, we won't even remember that we had to right click and hit resolved. Like, this is going to be a tech support question, you know, in 2025. And we have to remember, oh, back in 2020, we didn't have this capability. You know, like, oh, why isn't it resolving? Oh, that's right. Earlier versions, we had to right-click and hit resolve. So I think this is one that fits right into muscle memory. It's pretty intuitive the way it happens.
Being intuitive is a big deal with SOLIDWORKS, of course, because we want this tool to be easy to use, like use your mouse gestures and then poof, 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 you're done. It takes 2 seconds and you're done with everything. So having it automatically resolve, it's going to speed things up. It's going to be easier. And yeah, it's going to be something that in 4 years, we forget that we even lived without it. And it's just going to be, it's going to be there, which is really sick.
Oh, yeah.
One of the other things that I am excited about, because it's going to help out all you guys on TetSupport, this is going to help out a lot, is performance evaluation and circular references. You can actually detect those now using SOLIDWORKS instead of just being yelled at, hey, circular reference. It's actually a little bit smarter than that. So it's going to, at the very least, it's going to help you guys on TetSupport a whole lot. And I'm sure it's going to help out our customers a lot as well.
Totally. And this is a warning. First off, before 2021 came out, This was just kind of a general warning. You'd see circular references. It's like, okay, man, this is a wild goose chase. I don't know where to find it. Like, what's yeah. wrong? What's your problem? It's like a bad girlfriend, right? Like, what's the problem? I don't know. You know, like, so now this is like a mature girlfriend. It's like, well, I think it's this. Let's work on it. Great stuff. So totally. What does it actually do in performance evaluation? If you get the warning that says circular reference, I believe you go to performance evaluation, it's a new tab that says, here are the circular references. And what it does is it actually tells you what feature, what equation, or what edge it's having a problem with. So you can easily just kind of search for that sucker, right? And immediately resolve the issue instead of, you know, just trying to just guess, you know, be like, did that go away? Rebuild? No, still there. All right, let's go back. I run into this issue all the time working with the equations chapter in Essentials. Often people will forget what their variable names even correspond to, right? And they'll have, you know, X be equal to X plus Y, right? You know, essentially. So it's totally circular reference. Solvers could just sit there spinning for days trying to solve that. But now this will totally help. Totally help. Big deal.
You brought that up, and I immediately went to the John Mulaney special when he talks about his new girlfriend, who's now his wife, and, you know, what's wrong? Oh, you wouldn't understand. Now his new girlfriend, what's wrong? My stomach hurts. He just kind of ended right there, and we're able to move on.
Easy.
That's
easy.
Immediately where my mind went, and that's exactly what circular references were like. What's wrong? I don't know. You wouldn't understand. Now what's wrong? Right here. Look. See?
Yeah.
It's a really nice way of doing it.
Yeah.
A John Mulaney reference. First time I've ever been able to reference him in the podcast, and it actually like fits. I love it.
It's totally good. This is why this is the world's top SolidWorks podcast.
I'll take it. I hope so. I hope we're the top rated podcast.
I haven't done the math on that. Yeah, I don't know.
I haven't either.
Ignorance is Maybe bliss. I should.
It certainly is. And speaking of ignorance being bliss, silhouette defeature, that's not new.
What a
that's
transition. New as of, oh my God.
Nailed it. Because you can defeature models so that you kind of keep it where this is what the model looks like, but you take away the intelligence to it. You make it, it's not really a step file or an IGES, but it really simplifies things down, gets rid of all of those main features to split that out. But as I mentioned last week, silhouette defeature, you can actually save it as a configuration now. I think that's a pretty cool thing because now you can actually save it as you go. And while you're creating your assemblies, you can just say, give me the defeatured version of this and check that box and change your configuration. I think it's a pretty nice way of kind of keeping people in the dark, keeping them ignorant, making them blissful, by not giving them all of the information about our models. I think it's a pretty nice way of doing it. And it makes it easier for you as you model things up. You can just say, oh, yeah, include this.
Totally, totally. It's it makes this way more slick whenever I show this off in an advanced assemblies class. The question always pops up, like, wait, would I have to do a replace part, you know, or replace assembly for this? And the answer is yes. So, you know, basically, what is silhouette defeature? You know, you kind of just talked about it, but you can choose on a complex assembly or part which features you include. It's still there in your feature tree, but really this has two applications, right? One, say you're going to put your model on GrabCAD or something like that. You don't want some jamoke over in a reverse engineering department like I was to just totally rip them off and just like steal your design, right? If you have just a step file, but it has all the features, that's not too hard to reverse engineer, right? We're pretty close to automating that, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. But you know, if you create sort of like a black box representation of your assembly, you know, then you can send that to customers and they can put it wherever they're going to put it or something like that. So that's the whole purpose behind silhouette defeature. And also, say you're doing a giant assembly, say you're doing a conveyor for bottles or something like that, right? You don't want physical threads modeled on those bottles because you really care about the big picture there, right? That's not the point of concern. So often people would have simplified configurations of it where they suppress that. Well, silhouette defeature sort of automatically does that for you. All right.
But, I like that word, automagically.
Automagically, yeah. Write that one down. You can use it. I'll allow it. So silhouette defeature, it would automatically just simplify stuff, make sort of a black box representation. But the only problem before 2021 is it would be a separate file. So now we have another separate file to do, and if you want to insert it into where you have a subassembly or another part, you would basically have to do a replace part or replace components kind of thing, which isn't too bad, but it still takes time, right? Still opportunity for human error or warnings to pop up. But now, shucks, you just say use this configuration. Now, in fact, I believe you can just right click and say use defeature. Don't even have to dig in configurations if you have a ton of them.
I didn't know that.
Pretty cool, yeah. Right click, use defeature. Check me on that. I could be wrong. I'm like 80% confident.
I'll take your word for it. If not, it's still just a right click and then hit the drop down and change the configuration. It's not like it's a hard thing to do.
Yep.
It's a whole lot simpler though than having to go up, replace components, and you have problems because someone grabbed the wrong component or someone grabbed the wrong revision, and they should be using PDM in that case.
Yeah.
You get to focus on the value add stuff with silhouette defeature, and you say, this is what's important, the essence of it. Yeah, I don't care about the threads on my bottle. That's something that, like, we modeled up because, ooh, we got bored one day and decided let's add it.
Yep.
Now, if you don't need to represent it, you don't have to, and it can just be a new configuration. So it makes it a lot easier to represent on drawings and in models themselves. It does a lot for that. Speaking of drawings, you have one not in the list that you gave me, but you have something in drawings that you want to talk about. What is it, with detailing view?
Yeah. Man, your transitions are smooth, dude. I can't get over this. It's too slick. So
it takes some practice.
Yeah, detailing.
And even then, I gotta keep working on it.
Yeah, you're good. You're good, brother. So basically, for drawings in detailing mode, this is, I believe, the most efficient mode, right? It essentially just loads line representations in the views where the models were. For those of y'all that don't know, basically, anytime you open a drawing resolved, you're essentially loading whatever views you have inserted. You're actually loading that model in the drawing. That's why giant drawings of giant assemblies take forever. It's not just lines. It's not just screenshots. Detailing mode gets pretty close to just being lines and screenshots. I mean, it is still associative, but just a reference to the lines there. It's not actually loading the whole model, which, as you can imagine, reduces, load time and drastically increases performance. So up until this point, I believe it started off, you could only add smart dimensions, but now it's even quicker. They did stuff in the background to make detailing mode even quicker, just doing anything it. But now what you can do is add whole callouts, and you can even edit existing dimensions and annotations. You could not edit them before. It was just kind of like, I need to edit this annotation. This note is wrong. Now I have to resolve this. So it's kind of like walking around avoiding landmines, right? I don't want to have to resolve this. What can I do?
Yep.
So now it totally helps you out. You can edit existing dimensions, and you can even add detail views, break views, and you can crop. So pretty cool. Pretty cool capability there.
Essentially means that we don't have to load our drawings up, the whole 800 meg drawings, every time we want to change this note or every time we need to update our title block, right, and make changes to things on that.
Yep.
We don't have to do that now. It's slick. It's fast. The performance enhancements, I think in 2021, from the PDM perspective, from Manage, from SolidWorks especially, the performance enhancements are incredible. And it's going to save us all a lot of time. And I don't even know if we'll notice sometimes. It'll just be, oh yeah, this is working. And then we'll think back and go, oh yeah, it wasn't once.
Yeah, I didn't quite mention it, but from what I understand, I'm going to try to find the number. They allocated something like 60% of their development resources to just improving performance. I mean, that was the biggest thing people always ask every single year. Let me see if I can find. If I can't find this in the next 30 seconds, we're going to forget I said anything.
Well, while you search, I think that that entire concept that they spent so much time on the performance, I think that kind of shows what SolidWorks is at this point. It's a product that, I've had this conversation with customers. It's a mature product. It does what we need it to. But it's a matter of, let's make us better at what we're already doing.
Yeah.
And that's the goal of our tools themselves. And that's the goal of SolidWorks, is to make this performance better, to make it so that we don't have to move our mouse as much, so we don't have to do application parkour. The goal is that we're going to be faster, more efficient, And SOLIDWORKS has definitely done that in this release with all of this development time that they spent on it.
Yeah, so it's 58%. So I was pretty close with the 60% guess. 58% of their resources they allocate. Look at that.
I would say that rounds up just fine to me.
Look at that. Yeah.
So one of the things that is always talked about in performance, and it's always a really big topic, and it's our last bullet that we're going to hit on here, is simulation. Because people talk about the solver and they say, I want to make it solve faster because, you know, we're resolving all these triangles and we're running the simulation. We're testing all of these little details. I don't want to spoil a potential simulation episode that I still got to talk to our guys, Rob and Bill, on that.
The legends.
But you have something in simulation that you're pretty excited about with poor elements.
Yeah, so I'm sure if you get one of those legendary sim users like Robert or Bill on here, they'll do a deeper dive in this. But I am a novice simulation guy, almost onto the professional level, right? The intermediate level.
Almost there.
Stuff. I'm almost a professional, right? So one of the coolest things that I notice is that you can now, in simulation, probe poor elements and mesh nodes. So what does that dorky word salad mean? All right. So basically, if you have an issue with your mesh, you can go to like a sort of performance evaluation kind of thing, and it will highlight in red specifically the areas where it's having problems. So you can, from there, either do a trust fall and hit mesh helper, and they can usually automatically resolve it. Or what you can do is just manually adjust, you know, your mesh control. Say you have, you know, a certain resolution in that particular filleted area or something like that. Now you can, you know, reduce element size or something like that to try and manually just fix it. So before, it would just throw up a general warning. Now it will highlight in red, you know, hey, this is a particular thing that you have an issue with. It's very similar to some reverse engineering softwares that I have used in the past when we would try to make a NURBS model for more complex simulations or stuff like that from a scan. It would highlight in red, like, hey man, this is your self-intersecting triangle. You need to fix this. You're going to have weird geometry. It's kind of like the same thing. So it's cool that they are reverse engineering that capability.
We're back to that whole girlfriend analogy. She's actually telling you what's wrong now. Simulation is the girlfriend saying, here's our problem. We need to discuss this and you need to fix it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'm going to grow to regret that analogy. I'm going to get in trouble somehow.
Exactly. Hide the podcast from your girlfriend. Hide it from her.
That's exactly right.
All right, well, oh gosh, we're at almost 37 minutes.
Shucks.
Oh, well, it's no big deal. Any other big enhancements that you want to hit on real quick? I think we've hit on everything that I wanted to. And I know that, you know, talking through this stuff, I watched the videos. I knew it was new in 2021, but I think there's a lot of use cases and a lot of ways that it's just going to make our lives easier in ways that in 3 or 4 years, we're not even going to remember it. It's going to be, yeah, this is just how SOLIDWORKS operates. It always has. Oh, wait, back in 2019, it did not work that way. Back in SOLIDWORKS 2020, it didn't work that way. It's going to be a lot of those little details. It's easier for us in the long run.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the stuff that I'm interested in, I'm kind of a SOLIDWORKS generalist, right? I'm your meat and potatoes SOLIDWORKS application engineer. And all the stuff that we hit on today is kind of like the Pareto principle, right? 20% of your effort yields 80% of the results. So just double down on that stuff. And there you go. You'll make your experience a lot better. So I think they did a good job at fixing up these particular things. Inactive sketch colors. I mean, who'd have thought, right? I mean, that's right. Going to be a life changer. I'm going to be talking about that in every essentials class moving forward. So it's good stuff, man.
And I'm sure that all of your students are going to appreciate it, and they won't even know why they appreciate it, because they will never know what they had to live without, because they didn't have to.
Back in my day, I had to walk uphill both ways to see my sketches.
I know. Oh my gosh. And through the snow and in like a rainstorm. I don't even know how it was possible.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. Well, I think I've taken up enough of your time. So thank you so much for joining me this week. I thought it was a really fun conversation. A lot of good stuff this week about what's new in SOLIDWORKS 2021. To InPod listeners, make sure you tune in next week. We're going to have a PDM and manage what's new roundtable. Ryan Daly, Mike King, and my dad, Jeff Sweeney, they're going to be joining us, or they're going to be joining me. And we're going to go through what is new and what we're excited for in SOLIDWORKS PDM and Manage 2021. So I'll talk to you guys next week. See ya.
Bye, everybody.